Right, we are coming to God's Word now, so if you have a Bible, we'd love for you to take that out and turn to Matthew 6. We'll be in verses 25 to 34. If you were with us last week, you might remember Jesus told us not to store up the temporary things of this earth, of this world, the don't treasure up things in on the earth, but store up things in heaven that are permanent. They can't be taken away from you. Like the things of earth can be taken away, or they rust or rot, they're even stolen. Nobody can take the eternal things away from us ever. And essentially we made the point that we need to put our worldly stuff in its proper order, in its proper place. Not that we can't have anything, but that it needs to be put in the proper place in our hearts, in our lives. That Jesus is meant to be first. Jesus is meant to be master. He calls the shots in our lives as believers. It's not our stuff, the lack of it, or the abundance of it. Either way, our money, our stuff isn't meant to call the shots in our lives like we serve it and those things as our master. Jesus also told us that the way to fight that temptation is to actually be just generous with our stuff, with all the gifts God gives us, to hold it loosely, to be generous with it, not hoarding it or being stingy with it. That's a way of neutralizing the power of our stuff over us, to be able to just give some of it away, let people borrow some of it, to not let it control us. And the reality is that if we really heed that call, if we really do that, if we really let go of our stuff and trust our needs to God, something else might creep in because we're human, because we have weaknesses. Part of being generous, at some point we might think to ourselves, but will I have enough? If I actually do this, Jesus, what about me? Will I have enough for myself, for my family? And what can creep in is anxiety over that. Well, if I don't have enough, or if I don't store it up, if I don't take care of myself and all my needs and focus on that, then how is that going to happen? Creates in us anxiety over getting our needs met, having enough stuff to live. That's why this section in Matthew's gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching to us, there starts in the beginning of our passage a therefore. Therefore, if you're willing to be generous with all your things and it's not controlling you anymore, therefore, if you are actually generous with your earthly wealth and possessions, here is what you need to do to combat those anxious thoughts you will likely have over whether you will have enough, if you'll be able to provide for yourself. And though Jesus is going to focus mainly on anxiety over providing for our basic needs, his words most certainly stand and are absolutely effective for us in fighting all types of anxious thoughts. There's different levels of that, but many of us can relate to having anxious thoughts. And to be really transparent, everyone in our family, including myself, has challenges with anxiety, anxious thoughts. It's not that we get a free pass or I get a free pass as a pastor. And I'm not preaching this from a standpoint of, let me tell you how to make this better. I'm with you in struggling and saying, those anxious thoughts will creep up, but what do we do about it? How do we faithfully navigate those things? Navigating these struggles together. And I realize and want to acknowledge that some anxiety disorders require medication, and I don't believe the Bible is against that. But I want us not to too quickly depend on those things and skip over a full trust in Jesus. Those things can work in tandem, but the trust in Jesus has to be there. That's what he's calling us to this morning, to truly trust that Jesus can and wants to and will help us in our anxious thoughts. Guessing we all know what it is to be anxious in various ways. You might have felt it this morning. Some of you, maybe even just being in crowds, is anxiety producing. It's pretty prevalent in our culture, especially in the younger generations. Many of you probably are aware that those born between 1997 and 2012, they've been dubbed or called not only Gen Z, but the anxious generation. And there's a multitude of different reasons and causes and speculation about that. We're not going to get into all that this morning. But the bottom line is that we as a society are very anxious over a lot of different things for a lot of different reasons. That said, what we need to recognize is that what Jesus is addressing this morning in this passage might have been applied slightly different in the ancient world. What they were anxious about might not be exactly what we're anxious about today, but it's just as applicable to us today because we're still human. We haven't gotten past that. We're still just as human as they were, and we still have those same reactions to things that worry us, that we're fearful in. It may look different, might be different causes, but we know what it is to be anxious. Therefore, Jesus' words about that are just as true for us today. Listen now as Jesus speaks into our anxious thoughts and our hearts. Follow along as I read Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." These are the everlasting words of the Lord our God. The very first thing I want us to take notice is that twice Jesus says, "I tell you." Now, Jesus pictured that he's preaching on the side of this mountain. Jesus is speaking. He doesn't need to tell you, "The one speaking, that's me, my words." He's purposely reminding us, draw your attention to the one speaking. I tell you, listen, it's me, Jesus, speaking. Me, the one who created you, the lover of your soul, the wise and good shepherd, your powerful Savior. It's me speaking these things. Not repeating teaching I've heard, not repeating things people say, but that it's me speaking. And when he says, "Do not be anxious," he's saying it in a way, not like we glibly tell people when somebody's really nervous or worried about something, we're just like, "Don't, just stop worrying about that. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not glibly just saying, don't worry, don't be anxious. Like, it's that simple. Just don't do it. That's not helpful. That's not how he's trying to help us. We're meant to hear the statement, do not be anxious, from Jesus, as if we were an anxious child hearing it from a loving parent. If you can picture the scene of a parent having compassion on their anxious child and they come into the child's room and sit on the edge of the bed, look lovingly in the child's eyes, and they say, hear this from me, your mom, your dad, the one who loves you so much. You don't need to be afraid of this. You don't need to be. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. And as children often do, they come up with objections. But what if this happens? But what if I? But what if they? But what about? We do that as adults. And the parent simply says, no, you don't need to burden yourself with all those what ifs. You don't need to do that. I'm for you. I will help you through this. And the first way I can help you is putting to rest some of those what ifs that you have. Not just telling you not to be worried, but say, let me speak into each of those objections you have. But what if this happens? But what if that happens? Or they do this, or I do this? What? Let me lay some of those to rest. And then the parent lovingly gives concrete reasons why those what ifs are unlikely to happen, and also not unsurmountable, even if they did happen. Both are important. In effect, robbing the what ifs of their anxiety-producing power. Jesus, in this passage, is doing the same thing for us and in our hearts, whether we're kids or we're adults. Jesus is giving us 7 powerful reasons to believe him that we don't need to be anxious. He's not just leaving us with a command and say, just don't do it. He's saying, let me speak into those what ifs that you're likely to come up with. What about this, Jesus? What about that? What about this? Speaking into it, just like that scene with the loving parent speaking to that child, saying, you don't have to worry about those things. I'm for you. I'm with you. I'm going to help you through this. That's why you don't need to be worried about this or anxious about that. So 7 powerful reasons Jesus gives us to back up that command. Do not be anxious. These are on your bulletin on the back if you want to follow along. The 7 reasons are there so that you can focus on what they mean and how to apply them. Let's get into the 7 reasons Jesus gives for trusting him over what our anxious thoughts are telling us. The first reason is that life is more than our needs. Putting things into perspective, he tells us our lives are way more meaningful than food and the body more than clothes. We start off with this big picture idea that it's not about just fulfilling your needs. That's not what life is about. It's not the summation of life. We don't go through life and saying, I ate, I wore clothes, and therefore I am. That's not who we are. That's not the point of life. There's deeper meaning in life. In some sense, the old adage that you are what you eat, that is true in the sense that what you put in your body keeps you healthy or not, potentially. But it's the philosopher Socrates that most is credited usually with saying, we don't live to eat, we eat to live. There's a distinction. That's the distinction Jesus is making. You need to eat. You need to be clothed and protected from the elements. But that's not the point of life. He didn't create people so we come and eat and live and just worry about these things. We don't live to eat, we eat to live. Same could be said for clothes. We all have clothes. That's pretty important. And we sometimes can be anxious about what to wear or having certain things to wear, the right thing to wear. Our pressure in our culture is to have the right clothes, especially if you're in middle school, high school. That's really important, right? I need to have something that people won't make fun of me for. They'll think is cool. I'll be kind of blend in with everybody and also be myself at the same time. And it's very confusing. We complicate it so much, but we have anxiety over our clothes still. Not that we have any. Maybe we don't have enough. Maybe we don't have a warm winter jacket. We could use a winter jacket. Those things are still there. We need to keep our needs in check, though, with the reality that they are a necessary part of our life, but they shouldn't be the main focus of our lives. Yes, you need to eat. Yes, you need clothes. Shouldn't be our main focus. Jesus expands on that idea and gives an amazingly simple but helpful tool to help us see how much we are valued by God. See that in verse 26, the second part there. That amazing, simple, helpful tool directs our attention away from the things causing the anxiety. And he tells us, look up. First of all, just look up. Look at the birds of the air. Look up and away from these things that are causing you this anxiety. Away from yourself. The answer is not like the world tells us. The world says the answer is within you. Jesus says, first of all, just look up. What do you see there when you see the birds of the air? Bring your attention upward. Look at them and notice that not only are they beautiful creatures, but see how God provides for them. Simple little creatures, God provides for them. And also notice that they don't make these big barns like people do to store up all their stuff. They don't plan ahead for the next day. But God feeds them every single day. The birds of the air, just simple birds of the air. The bigger point that God is doing for them in all creation, these are just little birds, but who are you as a human being? You are the climax of all creation is human beings. How much more valued by God are you? If you see those simple little birds being taken care of by God, do you think he's not going to take care of you? That's what we're saying when we say, well, I don't know where this is going to come from, how I'm going to meet my needs. Do we trust that the same God that feeds those birds will feed us because we are so valued by God? Next time we're worried about food or clothes, look out the window. Look at the creatures out there. Are they worried about food? No, God provides for them. God is faithful. And before Jesus gives another illustration, Jesus quickly comes back to the reality, the really practical ways we need to think about these things, which he says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? Super helpful. That kind of slaps us in the face a little bit. So you think you can add more life? This is helping you by being anxious? Will you have more time because of this? It's not a productive activity. It's quite the opposite. It eats up our time. Worrying eats up our energy. It actually is even more harmful than that. There's been a lot of talk these days about studying centenarians, those people who make it to 100 years old and older, people who have made it that far, and they've interviewed them. I've read a couple of books on that, seen documentaries. Very interesting. But one of the things you never hear one of those centenarians say when they ask, how come you live so long? What things did you eat? What habits did you have? Not one of them ever says, you know what the key to longevity is? I worried a lot. Nobody says that because it's not true. Jesus knows that. Jesus created you. Our science is finally catching up to say, worrying is really bad for you. Don't do that. but with no explanation. Jesus said, don't do that. It's not good for you. It doesn't add life. It steals life from you. It steals life. It doesn't give you life. But every one of us could quickly remember countless things we have recently been anxious about and just how much time we've wasted. I think about so many things in my life where I fretted, I worried, I was anxious about it. Some of them never even happened. Others went way better than I ever thought. But it was just wasted time, energy. Jesus is just saying, this is just the truth, that it doesn't add anything. You're not being productive. It feels like you're doing something, but it's just wasting that time. So if you're looking for longevity hacks, Jesus gives us the best one. Don't be anxious. Want to live longer? Be less anxious. But he's not giving us just some kind of life hack, longevity hack. It's much more powerful than just changing our behaviors. Because Jesus' command, not only to be anxious, it's not just a command. It's backed up by the promise and the next reason to not be anxious, that your Father will provide for you. That's better than a life hack or seven things that you should try to improve your life. It's giving us concrete reasons and promises. This is the promise. Your Father will provide for you. Your Heavenly Father will provide for you. Again, Jesus invites us to look back at God's creation to see evidence that this promise can be trusted. He says, just look out your window, consider the lilies. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, King Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of those. King Solomon, who had the most extravagant wealth and dressed in the most extravagant ways, that the clothes that money could buy. These lilies, he could not compare to even these simple lilies of the field that God dresses perfectly. Do you think God can and will provide for you? Do you think you can do better by chasing the fancy and flashy clothes of the world and worrying about that? Instead of trusting that God, who dresses the lilies, can also dress you? And part of us says, well, that seems silly when you say it that way. Part of what Jesus is saying, it does seem silly, doesn't it? And he's not mocking us. He's just bringing us to that place where we realize that that is silly in a sense. Why would we do that? That doesn't make any sense. In verse 32, it says, your Father, your Heavenly Father, knows that you need all this stuff. He knows you need to eat. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need shelter. He's not just saying you need to go to a temple and live like a monk away from everything. He's saying you're in the world that I created, and I know you need stuff to live in the world. But there's more things to consider. Jesus also, next, he includes a warning in that lily illustration. It's the fifth reason we don't need to be anxious, which is at the end of the day, our anxiety shows a lack of faith. Again, he's not condemning us in this. He's just showing us the truth in some of the weariness that we feel and the worries and the fears that we have. Jesus, referring back to lilies, says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, reminds us that the lilies are nothing but grass, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And he says, oh, you of little faith. The argument he's making is that God takes care of these temporary, insignificant things of the world. Won't he take care of you so much more? He loves you. He died for you. Will he not take care of you? He's made us in his image to reflect his glory. We are eternal souls. What makes us think he won't take care of us? How little faith do we have that we think he's so weak or he's so incompetent that he can't feed us or clothe us or provide for us. And again, we're not meant to hear this aiming at creating more guilt and shame. That is not helpful when you're feeling anxious to feel on top of that guilt and shame. That's the last thing we need. And that's the last thing I believe on Jesus' mind when he says this. He's calling us in the opposite direction to increase our faith in his ability, in his power, in his provision. His provision and power, it's the most powerful antidote to our anxieties. If we really believe Jesus can get us out of this mess, or he'll make this situation okay, he'll help me survive this event or whatever it is, that's the antidote to those fears. Do we really believe it's going to be okay because of Jesus? Not because of us, but because of Jesus. I used to have what you could call probably a pretty decent fear of flying. Some of you maybe can relate. It's that you're taking off and you feel the lump in your throat. Start taking to the air and you kind of a little bit more, you can feel yourself getting tense. Every pocket of turbulence, you're reminded of the hundreds of ways this thing could fall out of the sky. It's probably worse now that I've mentioned all that. It took a while, a lot of flights for me personally, but eventually, by God's grace, he calmed my fears with a very blunt truth. The blunt truth was that Jesus is either going to protect me on this flight and I'll land safely and all will be good, or he's not and I'm going to go home. He's going to bring me home to him. And I know that's kind of crass, a little bit blunt, but that's the point. Those are the two options. In between that is just wasted time and fear over what could happen or if God will do anything about it. Why? There's two options. It'll be fine or it will be better than fine. Right? That he will either bring that plane safely home or he will call me home. Jesus is saying in this very blunt statement in this passage, at the root of every one of our fears and anxiety is somewhat of a lack of faith that God has the ability to do it, that he could, that he loves you, that all these other things that are true, that he will provide for you, you're valued by God. Think about it. Every time we worry, most of the time we're worrying because we can't do something. We're worried about, I can't pull this off, or what if I fail? What if I look dumb, or whatever it is? But where's our faith that God, with infinite power, sovereign over the universe, where's our faith that he could do something, that he could intervene, that even if everything goes south, that he could still bring about peace for you in the midst of that? That's what he's saying in that blunt statement. He emphasizes that lack of faith by saying that if we're anxious about chasing the stuff of the world, we're thinking like unbelievers. He says that that's how the faithless Gentiles think. Eat, drink, be merry, and then we die. That's the mantra of the Gentile, the unbeliever. Get what you can in this life, you go around once, and then you're dead. He says that's thinking like an unbeliever. Without God in the world. To have faith is to say God will show up. He's still active in the world. He hasn't gone somewhere else. He's not on vacation. He didn't go to sleep. He's always working on behalf of those who love him according to his purposes. And his purposes are perfect. Jesus is calling us out of that lack of faith, not as a condemnation, but rather just pointing out that sometimes we just need to meet our anxiety with saying, is God faithful? Is he true? Can I believe his promises? Of course I can. He's reorientating our hearts and our minds away from our anxieties and to him and his endless power and resources. Say, I know you don't have enough. That's the point. I want you to come to me and I will help you. I will provide for you. Which leads us in the direction of the sixth reason we shouldn't be anxious, which is that the kingdom is the goal. This world is not the goal. The kingdom is the goal. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. You'll get those. But it's not by seeking those things. It's about seeking first the kingdom. It's seeking the things of God. It's pursuing Jesus with your whole heart. Those other things, he'll take care of them. I know they're important to us, but to him, these are incidentals in the grand scheme of things. They're not a big deal. They're not hard for him to provide these things. Just a question of how he will do it, what means he will use. But he can do it. The real power is just having that singular aim and goal of our hearts being pursuant of Jesus. And the other stuff, it will work itself out. Jesus will work it out. And he doesn't mean his words to simply be a list of how-tos or better manage our fears. It's meant to be point us back to God becoming that singular aim. God delights to give his children good gifts. He delights in us depending on him. If we're going to be kingdom people, we're going to look to him for all our needs. But first, we're going to look to him for who he is. He is the treasure of our hearts. The kingdom is our ultimate home. We're living for the kingdom. We're asking for more grace to live righteously. And he will provide. In Philippians 4:5, it says, do not be anxious, where we heard that before. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Echoing Jesus' teaching, don't be anxious, but when you are, go to God in prayer. Ask him for what you need. He knows before you ask him what you need. But he delights in when we come to him and acknowledge that he is the one who provides. There's one last thing Jesus addresses. Even if we're fully dependent on God's promises, his provision for today, those what ifs creep up again. We say, that's all good for today. What about tomorrow? We have to do this thing all over again. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have all kinds of new needs tomorrow. Jesus ultimately says, take one day at a time. Take one day at a time. Jesus closes out this passage with that final reason. He says, therefore, since I've given you these other six reasons not to be anxious, do not be anxious about tomorrow either. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. In other words, don't worry about what will happen tomorrow. It will have unique challenges. Absolutely. Did I meet your needs for today? Will I do that tomorrow? You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Worry about depending on God today. Anxiety focuses us to catastrophize. And usually that comes with time that we say, I'm fine today, but this thing could blow up tomorrow. Right? Many things in our lives. Yeah, I'm holding on for today. I'm good for today. And I'm worried about tomorrow. What if that's not true tomorrow? What if that changes tomorrow? Jesus says, don't let that rob your life today, worrying about if I'll be faithful tomorrow. Focus on today. Really practical, really simplistic, but the reason we can do that is because we're dependent on God for the grace for today, his new mercies that are new every single morning. Do we believe that promise? There will be new mercies when you get up tomorrow. You don't have to worry about all those things, your to-do list Monday morning. It'll be there still tomorrow. Stuff needs to get done. But today, live in today and enjoy the blessings from God, the peace from God, an unanxious heart that is trusting in our faithful God. Our faith in the promises and provision of God through Jesus are the greatest defense we have to alleviate anxiousness. the anxiousness that steals our joy and our peace. And the key to any of these seven reasons not to worry, not to be anxious, the key to these working is actually believing Jesus' promises. I was talking with someone earlier this morning before service. We were talking about sometimes we know a lot of things, but it doesn't change our hearts. Jesus is saying, remember, he's saying, this is me speaking. This is me, Jesus. I tell you not to be anxious because I'm for you. I'm with you. I'm speaking to those what ifs that you have. But we need to listen in a way that we don't just say, that's great, that might work for some, but it's not going to work for me. I have real problems. Jesus is talking about real problems. For them, it was closer to life and death than it is for us. Key to this is trusting Jesus. Are we willing to trust Jesus at his word? We don't need to be anxious. Why don't I need to be anxious, Jesus? Remind me why I don't need to be anxious. That's right, because you have me. You love me. I'm valued by you. You promise to provide for me. And that's the difference between allowing anxiousness to control our life and a full dependence on God. He wants to turn our worry into worship. Worship in dependence on God. So the question as we leave this sermon is, are we going to trust Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to trust these promises. Lord, none of us want to be anxious. None of us desire to be worried or fearful. It's a very human condition, though. And we thank you for having compassion on us, for acknowledging that to be true. But Lord, we need your grace to help us to truly believe your promises, to believe your provision. Lord, just in thinking about all these words you spoke, Lord, we ask you for the faith to trust you, the grace to persevere, and Lord, the knowledge to know when we need to turn ourselves from ourselves and sometimes just look up. Look up to the way that you take care of your creation every single day. And yet, here we are, beloved by you. Won't you take care of us? May that bring us peace, Lord. May that bring us joy. Lord, we thank you for speaking these words to us, and we pray you would help us, Lord, to live them out. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.